All right, turn with me, if you wish to follow along, to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. I will just read the first four verses for this morning. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will shew thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. We have here the account of the call of Abraham. It is actually the first scriptural account all the way up to the beginning of the creation. It's the first actual account of a call of a person to faith in Christ Jesus. And I meant to say that exact same way. Yeah. I will mention this again. Remember this. Our Lord Jesus Christ said when he came here, and he did not exaggerate.
Yeah.
He said, Abraham saw my day. Not just a great day. Abraham saw my day and was glad. These Old Testament saints were not near as spiritually ignorant as many who profess to be Christians want to try to claim today. So we have here the account of Abraham's call. We certainly see men and women before this who believed God. But here we actually have a call. That's my title and subject this morning. The means and the results of calling. Someone may say, but where does it say here Abraham was called? Now the Lord had said.
Amen.
And somebody says, I don't see it. Somebody did. Because the writer of Hebrews says in the Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, Now by faith, Abraham, when he was called. So bless God, the writer of Hebrews seen it. And if you can't see it after that, then you're just blind. That's what that was. When God says something, what have we already read? And God said, Let there be light. There's light. You see, when God says something, it's so.
Amen.
It's so. So the Lord God had said unto Abraham, this said is God's absolute call to salvation by God-given faith wrought by God-attended gospel declaration. Again, someone may ask, well, I don't see any gospel declaration here. Well, I will add what the book of God says, according to the Apostle Paul, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8, for the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen by faith. What does it say? Preached the gospel before unto Abraham and says, And in thee shall all families, or that is nations of the earth, be blessed. That's the gospel.
Amen.
Now somebody says, well, I just don't see it. Then you're blind. You're blind. Abraham seen it.
Yeah.
And was glad. Was glad. You see, it's not by human reasoning that we understand the gospel. It's not by me trying to make it all completely plain. It's by declaration of the truth. God Almighty attending that declaration, and men and women, when he says, believe, they will believe by that declaration. Granted, it may have been but a spark Paul Mahan of all that the gospel entails. But that's spark enough for God.
Amen.
You see, as our beloved brother Earl Cochran used to say, none of us are born, and he was talking about spiritually born, none of us are ever born with a full set of teeth. God may begin you, start you out. He may call you with just one little tidbit. But bless God, if that tidbit is the truth of God, you're on a journey that no man can stop or hinder. Isn't that glorious? Three things about this. That is about the call itself. That is the means of this call. Number one, God's call is never apart from gospel declaration. And that's just so. 2 Thessalonians. I guess that's probably another one of those verses or chapters and verses I go to. I was accused one time, Brother Paul, of always preach from Romans chapter 9. Or at least always mention Romans chapter 9. So see, now I'm even mentioning it, even though I'm not planning on mentioning it again. Here's another one I mention a lot. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And just for, I don't want to get off on, look, talk about the means of this call. God called Abraham. And Abraham's going to be a blessing to all nations.
Amen.
Even Abraham. Why? Because I can look at Abraham and say, does what I call my calling meet his?
There you go.
That's where it's at.
Yep.
We don't have separate calls. There is how many calls?
Yeah.
One.
Amen.
One call. That's what Ephesians says, doesn't it? One call. But look what it says, verse 13. But we are bound. I mean, it's like, it's the chains of the truth of God. How sweet they are. Are they not? The chains of the truth of God. Christ said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me.
Yes, sir.
But my yoke is what? It's easy. It's easy. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And how is any man or woman ever going to believe the truth?
Exactly.
Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Until you know that call, you have no right to claim you are called.
Exactly. There you go.
Secondly, God's call, that is this absolute, irresistible call, is for all who are ever saved. Remember, I'm not even going to go back and read it. Romans 8, 28, we know that all things work together for good to them who are the called of Christ. And it said, and it's like this, I am going to interpret it. As many as he predestinated, the exact same number he called. Joe, that's what it's saying.
Amen.
In the text.
Yeah.
As many as he predestinated, that exact same many he called.
Yes, sir.
Every one of them. You see, no one will ever enter the glory of God, accepted by God, unless they've been called by God.
Right. Amen.
Some say, well, I believe I've been predestinated. Have you been called?
There you go.
If you've been called, you have reason, you have the right to believe you've been predestinated. But until you've been called by the gospel,
there you go,
you have no right to claim anything. Thirdly, God's call always has Christ as its gospel object.
Amen.
There's a lot of preaching out there, but it's not gospel preaching.
Right, you're right.
There's a lot that's called gospel preaching out there that's not gospel preaching.
That's
true. Here's the verse, I already give it to you. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Abraham saw by day, and he was glad.
Amen.
You see, I know this. We've looked at Genesis now for several weeks and different themes and subjects, but every subject we've seen deals with who? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when our first parents fail, the first ray of hope that God gave them was not just the animals. That was a physical covering. It pictured something. It typified something. But then God came along in the person of the Son himself.
That's right.
Pre-incarnate and preached unto them, I'm going to come through the woman.
That's right.
That's what he was saying.
Yes, sir.
I may be ad-libbing, Paul may have, but that's what I'm coming through the woman. Yeah. I will be the woman's seed, and I will crush the serpent's head.
Amen.
That's the gospel. And I know this. I have every reason to believe that those believers through all of those hundreds of years passed that gospel along.
Amen.
How do you think that Abel knew to give the right sacrifice?
There you go.
Did he just get lucky?
Yeah.
Salvation's by grace, yeah, not by luck. Now, I'll try to give you a little illustration of this. I knew a young man many years ago. And that young man made a profession in a religious institution. It was called a Christian church, but it was no more Christian than my house dog is. But I made a religious profession, and now you know who the young man is. I ended up saying mean. I didn't mean to do that. And that man was faithful to his religion for several years. And then as he got older, especially into junior high and high school, I just went my merry way doing what I pleased. I had a job delivering for a local wholesaler and drove all over West Virginia and around parts of Virginia. And I began to see these crosses out in the countryside. And I know most of you have probably seen those. Now I'm going to term this a providential reckoning. But let me state it right up. It was not salvation. It was not God's call. But it was a providential reckoning. And I began to look at those three sticks of wood and begin to feel guilty for my way of life. So I went back to the church in which I'd made my first profession. Rededicated, rebaptized, did it all. But I still had not been called. But there was a place, just like Abraham was. There was a particular place in which God had ordained before the foundation of the world to call me. And here I am back in that religious institution, and God sends a man named Joe Galusik along with a testimony of what God had done for him and a handful of cassette tapes. And then God Almighty forced me to hear the gospel and called me by that truth. Now I'm saying God Almighty can use anything and everything he is so pleased to use to bring his people to sit down and shut up before him. Right. But those things are not salvation. Those things are not calling. Those things are, as I said, these reckonings of God's providence to bring us to that place he ordained before the world began, to hear his gospel and to be called out by that gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from Christ, gospel being preached, there is no calling. There is thousands of providential reckonings, yes, but there is no calling apart from gospel declaration. You see, any teaching short of this is erroneous.
Right.
Yea, I should say heresy. There is no debate on this. You see, people have all kinds of religious experiences and want to chalk it up to something. Try to even call it gospel calling. And it has nothing to do with the gospel because it had nothing to do with Jesus Christ.
Right.
And let me tell you something. Those three religious wood pieces, that had nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? That has nothing. That's not a type or a symbol. That's not a God-ordained shadow. That's a man instituted something or another. Some guy thinks he's going to win souls for Jesus. And he probably has. He probably has. But God used that to put me in the place where I would actually then hear the gospel. And then he called me and Joe both out of that mess.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And here we got it today. Here we are. Here, there's the means. Gospel preaching. Gospel preaching. Gospel preaching. Gospel preaching. But there are results to calling.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It is sad to say. And I say this with a heavy heart, although at times I have trouble articulating and looking like I have a heavy heart. I understand that. But there are several people I know, and you know them here, that we've had even in this assembly. Paul, I'm sure you've seen it too, and they make professions of faith. And they may still always hold to what we call the doctrines of grace. You can't shake them on the doctrines of grace. Mm-hmm. But they got no concern for the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Right, exactly.
The assembly is willy-nilly, take it or leave it. Go when you can, don't go when you don't feel like it. The support of the gospel, giving of your hard-earned time and money, doesn't matter to them. I believe in grace. But you notice they never say, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right, there you go.
And there's a big difference.
That's exactly.
A lot of people believe in grace and they're convinced of it.
Oh, yeah.
They're convinced of it, but they don't believe Jesus Christ. And it's sad. Because that reminds me of that, and I know there's probably many applications of what our Lord said, but he said, if that light be in you, be darkness. How great is that darkness? Give a man or a woman a religious profession and make them feel at ease, and things are going well in their life, and they're liable to perish in that forever. Yea, they will, apart God Almighty, by the power of his Spirit, intervene and bring the truth of the gospel. Because it is, God gives life. He says, live. But the only thing that ever manifests that life is gospel preaching.
Yes.
Amen.
That's what Paul said.
Amen.
That's what Paul says. You see, there's no debate on this. The gospel preached, attended by the power of the living God, that and that alone will conquer you, or you're not called at all. Go back and read 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. Paul said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We don't try to use tricks and gimmicks.
Yeah.
It would be so easy to do so.
Yeah.
And even emotional ploys. How many people I've seen in religion, men would preach on hell, and people would flock to the front and make decisions, but a month later, a year later, whatever, they're gone.
Yeah.
They didn't care. They don't even care about their false gospel, let alone the truth of the gospel of Christ.
That's right, exactly.
Mm. So again, I say any teaching short of that is heresy. But that's the call itself. As I said, there are results as well. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, and just a little quick Bible lesson. The events of chapter 12 verses 1 through 4 actually take place during what took place in the latter part of Genesis chapter 11. Even as the Tower of Babel, when it talks about men having their own language, then it goes to the Tower of Babel. It is then backing up and explaining why this was like it is. Now the Lord God had said unto Abraham, and look at what he said, get thee out. Get thee out of thy country. And from thy kindred, that seems, now listen up, I'm just for the sake of argument, that seems a little harsh to me, don't it to you? Wouldn't it have been better for God to leave Abram, even before he was Abraham, in Ur of the Chaldees, to give witness and testimony to his grace? No!
Exactly.
How do I know that's true? Because God does what is right.
Yeah. Amen.
And God is not pleased to leave his choice jewels in the midst of heathen idolatry. And that's what Abram was. He was in the Ur of the Chaldees, bowing down, worshiping the sun and the moon. God had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Now go back up and look. When you first start to read, it says, if his father decided to go to Haran.
Yeah.
Well, he did.
Yeah.
But his father didn't realize Abraham's God was behind all this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here goes Abraham and Lot and wives and a whole company of people, it says. And here comes Abram's father with him. God had not ordained that Abram's father make it to that land of promise. Now, whether Abram meant to take him with him on purpose or what, it does not matter. Abram's daddy died in Haran.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something. When God gives you a command, you will obey it.
Yes, sir.
One way or the other. He will either make you willing in the day of his power, and when you're not willing, he will break your will and make you willing in the day of his power. He had no choice to go on to the promised land, or that land was being promised to him, had God not killed his daddy in Haran, because it wasn't meant for daddy to make it to the promised land. This world says that's tough. No, that is God. That is God. As I said, this call has results as well. And the first words are, get thee out.
Amen.
And let me tell you, when God calls you by the gospel, he'll get you out.
Yes, sir.
When God first called me, I was content to stay right where I was and try my best to preach to those people what God had just showed me. And I tried to do that, didn't I, Joe?
Yes, sir.
And I would have, Paul, man, I'd have stayed right there. But that wasn't God's ordained way. God was not meant, he did not mean to bring that so-called local assembly into the promised land, if you know what I mean.
That's it.
And what did God do? He made me leave. You see what I'm saying? Because when God says get out, if it's his irresistible get out, bless God, you're going to get out even if the enemy has to push you out. You will get out. You will leave. You will abandon all the idolatry and the idolators.
Yes. There you go. Yeah.
You know the statement. I know you've heard it. God loves the sinner but hates the sinner's sin. That is a lie. That is a lie. This book says God hates all workers of iniquity.
That's right. Amen.
Two things here. You see, before I state these two things, think of it. God's Son, here's why God does this. God's Son competes with nothing.
Amen.
You know what I say? God's Son competes amongst the hearts, minds, and souls of his people. God's Son competes with nothing.
Amen.
God's Son competes with no one else. Now turn to Matthew, what is it, chapter 10. And we see our Lord taught this actual message. Matthew chapter 10. While you're turning, let me just give you this. I'm not going to even go to it, but first thing here on this results of calling. First of all, those called denounce all personal merit, and they rejoice in Christ Jesus only. That's what Paul said in Philippians 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. He said, we're the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. And have how much confidence in the flesh? None. None. Now that means flesh of whatever kind.
Exactly.
My flesh, your flesh, kin flesh, what it, religious flesh, whatever it might be. No confidence in the flesh. But here's our Lord's message on it. Those called, and we'll sum it up, then we'll go back and look at it briefly. Those called reject family opposition. It comes to matter, and I don't mean this as though we're just some kind of hard, callous individuals. I don't mean that. That's not what Christ was meaning either. Sometimes it rips your heart out. Sometimes it pains you to your inner core. But we know this. Our Lord said, a man's enemies shall be those of his own household. And that's just the way it is. Abraham's daddy would have drug him down. Reminded him of the old ways. The old traditions, the old practices. Don't you think? Don't you think? Yeah. Yeah. Those called reject family opposition. They reject personal opposition. And they reject universalism. Well, somebody says, I didn't know Jesus Christ preached against universalism. Oh, he sure did. He sure did. Yeah, are you in Matthew chapter 10? Now look at it. They reject all family opposition. Matthew 10 verse 32. Whosoever therefore. Now that's an amazing thing. When you look back at the previous verse. Fear ye not, therefore ye are of more value than many sparrows. Go back up a little bit more. Even the very hairs of your head are numbered.
That's right.
So if God cares about that kind of thing. How much more does he care about what we're about to step into right here. Look. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men. This is why many so-called Christians don't have any trouble with the world. because they don't stand up.
Right. Yeah.
They've got their little private profession or confession they've made in some Calvinistic church, and they just going on about their life and everything's fine. But that's not the way our Lord Jesus Christ taught this matter of calling and its results, is it?
Yeah.
But whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever, there's the same whosoever. Is it? But whosoever shall deny me before men, and I remember this man right here's daddy preaching this years ago, even if it's by silence, that's denying him.
That's right.
That's denying him.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yeah. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also, think about this.
Mm-hmm.
Mason, Lily, this scares me, because there's been times I have kept silent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's the truth. And if it's not for God's free, sovereign, redeeming grace, forgiving grace, I'm hurting too. But look at what our Lord said. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not. And when that verse years ago dawned on me, it was like somebody pulling the pin out of a grenade and that heavy, ear-ringing thump going off. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth.
Yeah.
Then look at how he says it.
Exactly.
I came not to send peace, but a sword.
Amen.
The sword is not the sad consequence of what would happen.
Amen.
It's what Christ actually came to do.
Amen.
That's what he says, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Think, don't even think it. He didn't say, don't teach it. Don't even think it.
There you go.
Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come. I know it's tough language, but it's true. God's Son will compete with no one and no thing else. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me. There you go.
Yeah, that's it.
We're talking about priority of order.
Yeah.
Christ comes first.
Yeah.
Everyone else, even my blood relations, are a distant third or fourth. Because
right.
There's some other thing. There's a group of people that ought to come second.
Right.
Yeah.
And we'll see that in a moment. There's a group of people that's second.
Mm-hmm.
Family blood's on down the line somewhere. Somewhere or another. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter. That's tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I told you about that. About John Warburton's wife. And that one young gal died while he was off preaching. Because and his wife wasn't converted for like 20-some years. She began to be really distraught and down. He thought she was fretting and depressed over the child. And asked her along that line, is the death of the child tormenting you? And something along that line. And she basically told him, no, the child means nothing to me. Now, did she mean she didn't care about that baby? No. She said, the child means nothing to me. I'm afraid for my soul. God Almighty was dealing with her by the gospel. Do you see that? A man named Henry Mahan said one time, he said, everything you love in this world that's of this world, you better hold on to it loosely. Because
right.
If God's meant to take it away from you, he'll break your fingers to do it.
Right.
It's best. And then he said, it's best to take your family members out to the graveyard and bury them now.
Yeah.
Bury them today. And that way it won't destroy you when God kills them later on. Now, I know that is not what most people think gospel preaching is, but here's the Son of God himself teaching the gospel truth. He is saying, I, that is Christ, I compete with nothing.
Amen.
I compete with nothing. He that loves father, mother more than me, son or daughter more, is not worthy of me. But then look at it, what I said. These people who are called, they all reject personal opposition as well. There is that within me that wells up against this with every fiber of my natural Adamic being. And my literal flesh is connected to that.
Yeah.
My heart sometimes pains me when I think about these things. But by God's grace, I know the truth of God. Christ competes with no one else and nothing else, even myself.
That's right.
Even myself. He that taketh not his cross, here it is, and followeth after me, is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life, and here's the kicker, for my sake shall find. Oh, may God help me to continually be able to cry out with Job. And Job was suffering. Job knew he was a sinner. But he had men pointing out, oh, you've got some real deep skeletons in your closet. A little bit of self-righteousness still. Well, he goes, I'm going to defend myself. But you know what he said about God, though? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I got no other option. He called me. I got nowhere else to go.
Amen.
He's taken me to a destination. Mm-hmm. By his grace, I will get there.
Yes, sir.
By his grace, I'll get. And he will break off everything out of the way.
Yeah, that's right.
Break off everything out of the way. But not only that, I said this. Third thing, those who are called, here's the means. Or not the means, here is the results. They reject all universalism. You see, most of professed Christianity is teaching men and women today that God's trying to save everybody. And it's the biggest, boldest, blatant lie that's ever been purported upon a generation or generations. This book clearly does not teach that. From the get-go, it didn't teach that. We've been in it from Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, right on down. God's always had a people.
Amen.
Always had a people in the midst of all of this world. When God had Noah make that ark, he made that ark for 8 people and not a ninth.
Amen.
Noah didn't wait 120 years to see who he could get in. He was taking 120 years to build the boat to save those 8 people.
Yes, sir.
And nobody else. He wasn't up there standing on the gangplank, please come on in. There wasn't enough room for all of them.
That's right.
Why? It wasn't meant for all of them. He gathered provisions for the animals that would be there and the people who would be there. It's meant for the people of God. Somebody says, that's not right. That's what Paul said. Well, see, I did go to Romans 9, didn't I? He said, don't call God unrighteous.
Amen.
What God does is right.
Yes, sir.
He is right. Look at it. Here's where it's at. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. Isn't that an amazing thing? You ever think about when you grab a hold of a brother or sister and give them a good handshake or give them a hug, maybe a little kiss on the cheek and tell them, I love you. I care about you. Do you see what Christ is saying there?
Yeah.
He that receiveth you receiveth me.
Amen.
And I forget that all so often. It's just another handshake and another hug. What about you? And look. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. We're talking about a specific group of people here, folks. Look at it.
Yes, sir.
He that receiveth a prophet. Now, we're not talking about a false prophet, a God-sent prophet. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. When you lay hold of someone in fellowship because they fellowship in Christ Jesus, we are joining ourselves to God Almighty. That's what he's saying there. A righteous man in the name. Who's the name of the righteous man? That's Jesus Christ. He is the only righteous man in and of himself. And where our righteousness is of him. Verse 42, and whosoever shall give to drink. Just, I don't think Christ is exaggerating here, although I know there's a lot more to it than just that. I don't think our Lord ever oversimplified. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple. Now, do you see how it's this group of people?
Yeah.
I can't get to Jesus. Didn't Paul say that in Romans 10? Don't say who's going to send up to heaven.
Yeah.
The only place you go meet Jesus is in his gospel.
Right.
Preach from his word.
Exactly.
That's the only place you're going to meet him. Now, he's going to come and be in you. But I still lose sight of that all too often. Whosoever shall give to drink one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, another believer in Christ. Verily I say unto you, he shall nowise lose his reward. And the reward here, folks, is not some kind of crown you get to put on your head later. This is talking about having Jesus Christ, the one in whom we are complete, the one in whom dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Bodily. In other words, let me give you this. Christ is more to me than me if he called me. Christ is more to me than me if he called me. Christ is more to me than my blood kin if he called me. And when it comes to this last one, the called all receive and are all receivers of the gospel and of those who likewise have received that gospel. If you don't love God's people and love to be around God's people, you don't know God. You have not been called of God. That's not an ecclesiastical rule. That's what Christ is preaching right here.
Yes, sir.
God's people love one another. And if I told my wife I love her and I didn't want to spend any time with her, it would not last. She'd be getting a lawyer before long. Oh, I love you, baby, but I'll show up a weekend every once in a while. I'll show up a couple Saturdays out of the month. It don't work. That ain't love.
That's right.
That ain't love. God's people can't help but be around one another.
Amen.
Be around one another. You see, God's calling is no give your heart to Jesus. It's no give your heart to Jesus. I know we don't hear that a whole lot, you know, because you don't hear us preaching that at all. Two problems with that. One, the heart I have by nature, Jesus Christ don't want that.
Exactly.
He condemns it.
Yeah.
He condemns it. It's condemned. The heart is desperately wicked above all. It's desperately wicked. We're corrupt. Our hearts are corrupt. But even this, just give your heart to Jesus. Don't cut it. It's my heart, my mind, my hands, my feet, my eyes, my life, my job, my paycheck. It's all his.
Amen.
He deserves it all.
Exactly.
I don't see that as I should, but it's the truth nonetheless. And Paul, man, I know it's the truth nonetheless. Despite my inabilities to lay hold of it like I should, it's the truth nonetheless. It's no give your heart to Jesus. It's not try Jesus. You don't try Jesus. You bow down to Christ as Lord.
Amen.
It is no Jesus is my buddy.
No.
And I thought, I was trying to think of that this morning. Ellen mentioned it to me. Have you seen the new Blasphemy? Some kind of show. I thought it was a movie, but it's evidently an ongoing show. Somebody will have to, oh, God friended me. Have you seen that one? This world is so religious. But folks, and they think that's cute. Sadly, they probably, many of them think it even honors God. And it is blasphemy.
Exactly.
Because they like to get a text from God, or a tweet from God, or a Twitter, whatever they are, or a Facebook thing from God. But they don't want to bow to God's word. They don't want to come hear God's men preach the gospel, but they don't mind God friending them.
Yep.
That is blasphemous. Because this book says it pleased God. Here's what pleased God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. If you don't like to come here preaching, you've not been called of God. Because once he begins to call you by the gospel, I do agree with Tim James, although I thought, well, I don't know about that. When he first said, every time God saved me, every time I've heard the gospel. He said there was an original time when God saved me by the preaching of his gospel. He said, but every time I've heard after that, he saved me again. That's still the truth. When I come here, when I go anywhere, when I hear a man preach the gospel of Christ, it saves my soul. I would sink into deep despair over which I'd never recover if I didn't have in my heart and mind this gospel all the time. I would. I would. Joe, if God lifted his little finger off me for a moment, I would plunge into the darkest pit of despair. You know why? Because I have been called of God. And God does not leave his people amidst all that morass. He calls us, but he also calls us out.
Amen.
He also calls us out. Oh, may God arrest our hearts and minds by his gospel, applied by his Spirit for the first time and or anew. And or anew. May it so please God to do so. So then let's sing, stand and sing number 155 in closing, and think about the words of this song as we sing it. Out of the inspiring hymns, 155.